listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
It's Roast with J.M. Bell and Tom. They're your Roastmasters.
Okay, I guess we're Roastmasters.
I guess we're roasting.
Now, let me do...
Go ahead.
Okay, the way that we've set this up, for those that are new to this third episode, is you get 15 minutes, and then I get 15 minutes, or vice versa. Okay? At the end, we take what should be 5 minutes, but has no actual time limit, to talk about the lessons we've learned from each other's chat. Roasting, if you will.
Mm.
Now... of course, because I'm involved in this and you are involved in this, I've decided that what we need at the beginning is a 5 minute loosening up chit chat, because if we don't, somebody loses out on minutes of their time, or like me, they just keep going. And suddenly your first segment that's supposed to be 15 minutes is 25. Now, here are a couple of reactions that I have received about this, our new baby of a show. The first being, if you're going to call it roast, why aren't you guys yelling more? That's a valid point. It's a valid point. But I have likened it to a campfire for marshmallows and hot dogs, and if the heat's too high, you just burn the food. Which is weak sauce, I get it, but it's all I have. Because the truth is maybe the name doesn't quite fit, but I am enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to call anything else. We already built a graphic. What the fuck, man? I don't have time for that.
There's an excellent graphic with a toilet and the word roast, and it's excellent. I like it.
Now, did you notice the things I used for show two?
Yeah, I did. I saw Batman.
It was Batman. That was Batman. Well, that was Batman. Well, the spicy night. Manuel. He's the hero of Houston, Texas. So, anyway, I'm just going to keep fucking with the logo over and over and over again because I can't leave well enough alone. So,
that's the fluidity. I think it should. I think it should be an open source kind of mark. It doesn't have any.
Yes.
Or else we just make shit up as we go along because it's always evolving.
Right. All we got to do is try and keep the show to 45 minutes or less.
Do the best we can with what we got.
Because part of this is me exercising a theory that 45 minutes is the perfect length of a podcast for people to listen and not turn it off. I gauge that by when we used to have a lot of streaming traffic on the Left Show site, 45 minutes and 90 minutes were where I would lose people. So that was where I could track the file. Now, Blueberry, as a plugin, lost that functionality about a year and a half ago, so I have no fucking idea. On that, all I can do is gauge how many gigabytes of traffic I'm eating from that particular site. And then I do, anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's a theory, and I'm sticking to it. I've had that from four people who wonder why, one, very adamant that there should be more yelling. And to that young lady, I promise there will be yelling. I'm here. Tom's here. Yelling will happen.
Lemon fresh and
right now we are showing off for one another. We are at the dog park sniffing buttholes. That's what's going on now. So now, here's the thing. And you and I have talked about this before. I get more listener interaction when you and I do shit than just about anything I do.
Yeah.
I think it's because at this point, I've homogenized the audiences to the other shows I do. Because we've been doing them for so long that pretty much if you don't like it, you're not listening anymore. People used to listen and get pissed off, you know, and send in hateful letters. And now when I talk to people I know listen to it, I'm like, how's it going? They're like, oh, show's great. Don't worry about it. But I do worry about it because nobody's telling me it's great. I need to know. And but for this so far, for the first 2.5 episodes that we've done, a lot of compliments from people. That are listening new, and basically had stopped listening to the Left Show because they were, bummed out, discouraged. They had Trump flu, You know, and they're like, fuck it, I don't care anymore. And so they took a few months off, and then they come back because they saw this, and they're like, well, what's this about? And so I am getting quite a few compliments about it, which is great. More compliments than why don't you yell more? And yet I still find the most valid question asked, why don't you yell more? So I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get upset and I'm going to yell because apparently I'm very entertaining when I do so.
Yeah. There was some yelling in this. There's some yelling in my part. There's some yelling, but not necessarily from me. It's more or less from the individual who I'm talking about.
Now,
so with yelling, I know, Jeff, I know what you mean. There are times when I get pissed off and righteous and and stuff like that. But my opinion about that is, if it works, great, wonderful. I usually leave the yelling and the screaming to the Alex Joneses and people like that. But I know that we're not talking about that kind of audience that listens to us. We're talking about a kind of a righteous indignation.
I do not believe that Donald Trump is being driven like a puppet by the devil. Therefore, my yelling will not be about what hidden forces in the Illuminati are doing to our country. It will be about what Tom fucking Cotton said yesterday. That all sort right, of shit. Right. Now, one last thing, and then we'll move forward, and that is the piece that you read from last week.
Okay.
And I'm blanking on the guy's name right now.
It's Jimmy Breslin.
Breslin. Holy shit. That was popular to the point where four or five people all were like, hey, can you encapsulate that by itself and just put that on the website as its own little thing? To which I say, maybe. I'm trying to figure out the legalities of that right now. I can do shit like that for 'Twas the Night Before Christmas because nobody cares. But not only, you know, was Breslin an award-winning writer, he just passed away. Whereas the dude who wrote The Night Before Christmas has been dead for fucking ever. And the truth is, it is such an unpopular piece, nobody really listens to it. So I spring forth from my bed to see what was the matter.
And the Breslin is gone. See, here's the thing is that I think he wrote it for Newsday in 2003, and it's hard to track down. You have to find it through other sources. Either Newsday puts it behind a paywall or else it's just disappeared or something.
Fucking
it's
Newsday.
Excellent piece of prose. I remember it from the war. I remember it from the war. And I just go, as far as I know,
When I was a kid, we read it on paper. Yeah, we liked it.
Way back there in the Gutenberg press with goddamn
millennials,
Franklin, print it out,
beamed into your eyeballs.
It backwards with a mirror as the linotype was getting set in place.
President Taft would never have stood for this sort of injustice.
Or sat down.
We're going to need a bigger chair. Okay.
Or you're going to need somebody to exercise off all that Taft heft, right. Perhaps Kellyanne Conway.
Anyway, to the best I can tell, it is still under copyright protection. So, no, you can't have it encapsulated because somebody might give me a dollar one day, say that's what it's for, and then I go to federal pound me in the ass prison with Bernie Madoff because Tom told a poem. And I thought it was pretty. So I thank you all very much. If you would like to share that, remember, just download the fucking free episode and pass it around, would you? Even if you have to do a time marker to skip my shit. My shit was awesome. All right. So let me pause to drop a sounder in because my board doesn't work the way yours does. And then we're ready for you to go, sir.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
One comes after 3-2, and then you go.
All right. Okay. Last week we talked a little bit about good words and how good words get meshed together and somehow they leave you with an impression.
But I can has read good.
I can has. I can. We're more than I can has cheeseburger. We're going to have something extra special this time. It goes a little bit like this. And now the sad story of a bad computer repairman and insult sign writer who lived with and hated with his every breath, liberals. Chapter 1, Portlanders, that is, Portland, Oregoners, have been regularly protesting President Donald Trump since the inauguration, and sometimes in massive marches, sometimes in small but fractious demonstrations. Although Trump supporters have shown up to hurl abuse at these protests, there hasn't been a pro-Trump protest until now. Introducing Lake Oswego business owner Kevin Kerwin, who runs Kevin the Geek Computer Repair Shop. He organized a march. Kerwin was planning a march for March 4th, part of a nationwide movement called March for Trump, a day when Trump supporters across the nation would march in support of President Trump. And, of course, we say president with quotation marks around it. That appears to be the only pro-Trump rally in Oregon, although there were five in Florida. Willamette Week. It's a, you could tell by the title, it's a weekly, called Kerwin to ask about the march, to which he responded, "I don't talk to you people. You guys are anarchists." And he did say, however, that he's looking forward to the march, and so are a bunch of people. And when we told him that the event page showed about 80 people were attending, roughly.
That's more of a bushel. That's more of a bushel than a bunch.
A hectare in other countries. That number was likely higher, but he's had to keep remaking the page due to anarchists taking it down. "We're showing our support for Trump, unlike you guys. You guys are morons." Now, Kerwin is most known for placing signs in his store window that attack liberals, President Obama, CNN, and even Bruce Springsteen. His most recent sign read, "To all ignorant liberals, including Bruce Springsteen, the four people who kidnapped and tortured a disabled teenager just because he supports Donald Trump, to shows everyone you are a party of complete morons, I'm embarrassed to call you Americans. Go straight to hell where you belong. We've had it with you idiots." That's all on one sign in his front window.
Is that a big sign or a small sign?
It's a big sign.
Okay. Because that's a lot of words. If you put that on a small sign, some old liberals might not be able to read it without spectacles.
And he went on. He goes, quote, "Since the election, liberals have been burning down Portland, smashing cars, crying like babies, calling that they got the popular vote when everyone knew it was the electoral vote, and crying, Kerwin says. And then I saw that video of the kid getting tortured, and I said, screw all of you. I hate you, Kerwin told Willamette Week. I hate you, he told Willamette Week. I hate all of you. You're nothing but thugs and nothing but a modern-day KKK. I've had it with liberals. I've had it with you. I've had it with your media and CNN. Do you understand if I've had it or not? Well, let's find out for certain, because he always made himself available to the media, like this report.
President Donald Trump's contentious relationship with the media has his followers riled up.
"You guys are the racists. You guys are the violent ones. You guys are the Marxists."
Small business owner Kevin Kerwin of Lake Oswego is one of the organizers of Oregon's March for Trump rally happening this Saturday.
"Liberals totally hate me, and I totally hate liberals."
He is no stranger to controversy. His support for the president is on full display at his computer repair shop in downtown Lake Oswego.
"There's so much hate going on with the Women's March and all those kind of things. That wasn't a woman's march. That was a hate march for Trump. Liberals are the most lawless people I've ever met in my life."
Whoa.
"And when Obama was in power, he let everything happen. He did not care."
No, not at all. He said that he'd been threatened all weekend long by liberals.
"What's wrong with you people?" he asks Willamette Week. "Do you allow that to happen? We didn't attack your rights. You attacked ours. You destroyed all those cars and buildings. What's wrong with you people? You support violence. How many roads you got blocked? How many people's cars got smashed? You're nothing but pathetic people. I want nothing to do with you."
And then he said, fuck off, and hung up. You usually can see his signs at 393 North State Street in Lake Oswego. You can't miss it, because his shop is parked at a major traffic intersection. Signs like this one.
"Hey, Obama, I built my business myself, you incompetent, lousy excuse for a president. I'm Kevin the Geek, and I approve this message.
I mean, you are well aware that your goddamn impression is spot fucking on. You know that. You've been working on it. This is why we're recording a day late, is because you were in the bathroom practicing this fucker. Well played, sir.
I was going to, you looked like Peter Griffin. You looked like, he might even be, who knows. And then something else happened to the story.
Dun, dun.
From Willamette Week, the man behind the Lake Oswego pro-Trump rally says awful things on social media.
Gasp.
After initially writing about Kevin the Geek Kerwin's March 4th Trump rally, alert readers also pointed that writer toward Kerwin's grotesque social media presence. Spouting conservative opinions online or with signs plastered to his LO computer repair shop is certainly his right as an American. Go ahead.
Okay, before you go too far, because what I want to do is I want to set up a feeling of wonderment of, ooh, I wonder what's coming next. Let me guess. In his social media, it turns out that he was a flower child and that he cared for his fellow man and he thought black people, Mexicans, and Muslims were awesome. He just wished that they would stop liking Obama, right?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately and sadly, no.
Good thing I was being sarcastic.
I wish it were so.
Yeah.
But just as it's our right to roll our eyes at his racist point of view, correct his ignorance, or simply never step foot in his business, unfortunately, he doesn't stop with mere insults. Here are a couple of his choice posts from Twitter and Facebook. It's time to bomb Muslims back to hell where they came from, complete morons. Other posts were removed from Facebook, probably deleted by Kerwin. Lucky for Kerwin, we have the screenshots. Ta-da! About a year ago, he wrote, stupid Muslim freaking out with woman who put her feet on a metro train chair. Lol, lol. I would have punched him to the ground if he got in my face. Fuck. Sand, I can't say that. It's terrible. I'm not going to use those words. Also, this is one geek who really seems to despise women. Take your riots and shove them. I can't even say that. I'm not going to say that. It even gets worse. When our lovely FLOTUS, Michelle Obama, was writing in one of the last Twitter remarks before the Obama administration ended, she wrote, taking it in one last walk through the people's house. It was a lovely, lovely sentiment and a lovely thought and a lovely moment. Our Kerwin wrote back, goodbye. And I won't even say the word he used. Next, he had a lot to say about Fox News. Keep trying to watch Megyn Kelly, but every time I do, I think how fake she is. I think she never did the debates. Well, she does have nice... Well, I can't say that either. And if you ever go to his Yelp reviews, they aren't very positive either. As a matter of fact, 70% of them rate him about one star or maybe less. And then... after all this notification, Kerwin abruptly pulled his support for the march, according to his recent post on Facebook. I'm pulling my support for the March for Trump. The event organizers have gone down a path I can't agree to. T-O-O. Good luck, everyone. I'm not a slave to tyranny.
Here's Kevin, the thing. Here's the thing. Just in my head, I'm like typing. I got my brain typewriter going as you talk in this dude's voice. And that was exactly how he spelled too. It was wrong. And he's got superfluous commas. He's got apostrophes where they don't belong. And at some point, there's probably going to be an accidental semicolon. But that's just me guessing.
And he's got an ellipses where he comes up short, inadequate, impotent.
Yeah.
He's an impotent ellipses with only two dots. Can't go there. So what caused the split? Kerwin's racist Facebook posts, according to Trump organizer Carol Presnell Leak. She said, I honestly did not know of Kerwin's Facebook posts regarding racist comments from 2 years ago. I've only known him for a few months through Facebook. I certainly do not condone these comments. In fact, find them disgusting. This is something he has to live with. And then, shockingly, just a week or two ago, Lake Oswego business owner and insult writer Kevin Kerwin has closed his computer repair shop. And he has announced that he'll move to a red state. A sign on the shop's window reads, "Thank you, Lake Oswego, for 10 years of awesome. I've moved my shop to a red state so I can enjoy the next 8 years with my fellow deplorables. Go Trump. We won. Get over it." Willamette Week reached Kerwin by phone this morning. When asked which red state he was moving to, Kerwin replied, "What do you want to know? So you can send your liberal idiots after me. I'm moving to be people like me. Portland's turned into a sewer of liberals." Kerwin wanted to reiterate that he did not go out of business. He just simply moved his shop. "I shut down a perfectly good capital business so I could move to a different place where people love each other," he says. "I didn't want to be next to the sewer called Portland after the rally in Lake Oswego. What's wrong with you people?" Just to be able to check in about that rally, the Trump people were swamped by the number of people protesting them. As a matter of fact, things got so crazy in this kind of this Trump, shall we say, this so-called Trump rally. I remember seeing pictures of a woman, pro-Trump woman, holding a Russian flag saying, "Thanks, Russia." And of course, there were a couple of people, probably from the Klan, a couple of other people who were giving Nazi salutes. It was...
"Hello, it is good to see you at the march and picnic."
Yes. Kerwin said that Portland was tolerable until up to 2 years ago. "I'm going to a red state where people are fiscally conservative, know how to budget things, and know how to celebrate Trump's victory." Like what? Kansas? And in conclusion,
Jesus.
At long last, he finishes up with the following. "I've dealt with you fuckers for 10 years and all those review sites, and I never cared because the conservatives came to my shop. I've had it with you people. You people are nothing but Nazis." And Kevin, when it comes to Nazis, our first advice is to look in the mirror. And as Kevin, the geek Kerwin, slithers away to a red state, we hear...
"You haven't seen the last of me!"
"Oh, the first of you turns my stomach."
And that is the story of a bad computer repairman and insult sign writer who will die alone, never finding love. And that's that.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back on the other side, I'm going to show you why I suddenly regret going second. You asshole. God damn, that was good.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now.
more than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more... as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of, hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to that soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh Coffee Cast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next pod gets brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The Coffee Cast Podcast.
Now, see, when I count down from one, I know it's time to go.
That's right. Three, two, and then you don't say anything for one, and then you don't say anything for zero, and then you don't say anything for you're on.
Yeah, you wait at least 30 seconds so that everybody wonders whether or not we got disconnected. I love you, man. That was really good. That was really good. So what I'm going to do is breeze through a little bit because we've had some news. Now, the last 2 weeks, I've done old news. Today, I'm going to do the historical context for new news, if okay. That's all right. In 1787, the United States Constitution limited federal power, but it gave no explicit guarantees of privacy. Long thought of since then as probably a mistake. In 1890, now, we have just jumped forward 103 years, okay, from the limit of, yes. of federal. So in 1890, the Warren Court, wasn't it? No. Earl Warren, Louis Brandeis published The Right to Privacy, Harvard Law Review. It is the right to be left alone in response to the rise of photography and yellow journalism. Yellow yes. journalism. I am trying so hard right now not to jump out with a bunch of really tasteless jokes, because while I would be making fun of the racism of the time, it could easily be turned around and be pointed at me. 48 countries in the United Nations signed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which includes no one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence. Okay? Those abstaining included... South Africa, Saudi Arabia, and Soviet Union. Is what is privacy? Is capitalist big dog, you know? No. No, the state knows. Where else we find good spank bank, hey?
We just have tapes of you.
Now, the United States signed this, which means that because it was signed, it was ratified, and because it was ratified, it is law. It may be international law, but it's international law to which we are subscribed. That's binding. So right now, for those of you that are listening and are prone to that sort of thing, it is time to pull out the tinfoil hat you've put anti-UN death ray. Because that's where we're at right now. So in 1965, the constitutional guarantee to privacy became law. Okay, now we're in America. Merca. The Supreme Court's Griswold versus Connecticut, which had absolutely nothing to do with Chevy Chase.
Or Clark Griswold, please.
It was a decision referring to the right to marital privacy in its decision on contraceptive use, which, as you recall, was the right of the husband to not have to tell the cop that he punched her in the tummy to get rid of the kid he didn't want. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was a domestic violence thing, right? Because that feels 1965 to me.
65.
Yeah. 1967, Columbia University professor Alan Weston published The Privacy and Freedom. And in 1972, Data Banks in a Free Society, which helped to launch privacy movements in a lot of democratic countries, not just ours. In 74, Congress passed the Privacy Act, prohibiting federal agencies from secretly collecting personally identifiable information or disclosing it without written permission. This one is key to everything else that we're about to talk about, is the Privacy Act. Okay? So remember that one, kids. 1974, when I was 2 years old, and I'm pretty sure I inspired it just by being adorable and redheaded. 1988, Privacy Act was amended to extend protections to automated computer matching. Okay?
Okay.
2001, with the attacks on the World Trade Towers, the Department of Homeland Security was created. And suddenly, we have the beginning, the budding, the tulips that never go away, if you will, of the secret federal programs to track phone and online communications. These, in direct violation of the Privacy Act, which has not been overturned, has not been amended, and has not lost a fight in the Supreme Court. Now, with this attached, we bring up the fact that we have the FISA courts, where if you're a federal agency and you want to know something slimy, you have to go and ask permission before you go and get it. And basically the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, and with the help of the NSA, the CIA, and the FBI, we're told, don't worry about it. It's just extreme reading, if you will. 2013, U.S. privacy scandal breaks. Google, Facebook, petition for the right to disclose government subpoena requests. Get that? When they're subpoenaed, they want to put it out on the internet and go, hey, the government wants to know why you spend so much time, you know, under the squirt category of Pornhub. And my answer to that is, it's none of your fucking business. It's the best category. Because you could tell that it's real. Just
put that down. Twitter, put that down in the search bar.
Twitter got kudos for refusing to go along with disclosures and subpoena requests in the first place. Twitter, of all places, right? So the right to privacy is not only an American law passed and ratified by both houses, signed by the President of the United States of America years and years and years ago. It is also an international understanding that the government needs to butt the fuck out unless it, you know, can't and has a reason. And that reason is supported by a court of law. In our case, usually FISA, right? Or a search warrant FISA, from a judge. Right. And then apparently you can look at all you want. Look, I'm just saying, any crime that I might commit is going to have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with my browser history. Just know that. You're probably, in a lot of cases, especially because I'm in very religious Utah, my browser history is going to freak you out. You might want to get somebody a little less delicate, sweetheart. You understand? Just saying.
This is Utah. It's the state by which is the greatest consumer of porn nationwide.
Yeah, the truth is, I don't think any of them, they would just act surprised. So what we got yesterday, and this is yesterday as we record, not yesterday as we drop.
Right.
What we got is a resolution from the Senate that'll breeze past the House because it's a piece of shit and the House loves voting yes on pieces of shit because it's run by pieces of shit and they always support their own. And I mean, keep that in mind, man. Representative Foley was protected by the Republicans, you know, and Tom DeLay, until long after he admitted to illegally fucking little kids. Let's just, okay?
Absolutely true.
Right. So what happened was, is, and I talked about this on the left show, clear the fuck back, middle of last year, before the election was over, and I've been harping on it ever since, and that is, Donald Trump may be a fucking idiot, but he has people around him that may not be intelligent in a way that makes sense in the written word, but they are predatory, and they are shrewd, and to a point, they are devilishly clever. These are the people that registered him to run as president the same day he was inaugurated, so that that changes the way that nonprofit organizations can message against him. Because if it, if normally, like the last, oh, I don't know, all the fucking presidents filed to run, you know, the year before an election year, this motherfucker, and I'm pretty sure he did, this motherfucker, it's just let that one, you know, just let it simmer. It'll pop up.
Yes.
But
yes.
He, we all have to be careful. If you are a 501c3 or C4, you have to be careful how you talk about him, because it could easily be electioneering, because he is already running again. Okay. That is not a Trump thought. That is a thought from someone with a lot deeper understanding of the American electoral system, which we know Trump does not have. Right.
Nor could have.
No. Cause he's a fucking idiot, as we all well know.
True.
You know, and I say that he's a fucking idiot, and I just want to, that the facts support me, because he has children. Now, get it? Just let it simmer. I'm doing the low bombs today. So what this did was, it emboldened the Republicans that are running the House and the Senate to basically put any wackadoodle piece of shit together that they could possibly push, because they know if it makes it through both houses, it will go to his desk, and there is a 99.99% chance that he will sign it, unless it affects some part of his business somewhere. Right?
And only. or if something else should come up to embarrass him, that he actually feels some kind of embarrassment and thereby would act on it.
Well, not for nothing, but if you've been watching The Daily Show at all, they put up a picture of the last time Trump threw out a pitch. I know why he's not going. I saw the picture. You know, Trevor Noah, his thing is he's like, basically, I figure Donald Trump doesn't know how to throw a ball. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And he couldn't laugh it off. It was one of the best story arcs in, you know, secondary or third tier story arcs in a West Wing episode once, is that Bartlett had to throw a ball, had to throw out the pitch at the Nationals game. And they were trying to get him to throw, learn how to throw with the bulletproof vest on. And then it turns out at some point that he couldn't really throw all that well without the vest. So funny stuff. So here we have the House Republicans. Okay. Then they have voted to allow internet providers to sell your user data, right? To anybody who wants it.
Anybody.
Right. And oh, God damn it. You know what? Here's the thing. As I'm sitting here talking about privacy on the internet, and fucking Business Insiders, I'll turn off your ad blocker. So you stop.
Go fuck yourself, Business Insider.
I turned it off, and I would appreciate it if you would just let me read the fucking article, you piece of shit. Okay. United States House of Representatives voted Tuesday to kill a set of Obama era. Now, that's the important part right there.
Obama era.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters if it came out of the Obama era.
Everything they'll do to erase anything.
Right. But these are privacy regulations for internet service providers created by the FCC last year. One, that took for fucking ever, didn't it, assholes? The most notable part of the rules, which has not yet taken effect, probably because it needs to be signed into fucking... Anyway. Broadband providers such as Verizon, Comcast, and AT&T to obtain explicit consent before selling their customers' web browsing histories, app usage data, and other personal information to advertisers or third-party parties. Okay? That was the rule. Hey, you have to ask Jeff before, you know, you tell the Mormons how often he goes to Pornhub and what he watches. None of your business. And again, I like what I like.
And not God, just or anybody going to Pornhub for that matter, Conrad Teal. Go.
Let me just put it this way. If God is the head of all creation, if he is responsible for all that is made, all I am enjoying is God's work in the squirt category of Pornhub.
So and God's me. Work in action.
And sometimes interracial, but usually... Anyway, so... Here's what I like. I like naked ladies having the sex. Is that okay? Can I just... That pretty much covers most of it.
It's been said. It's been
it.
Spoken.
It's, yeah, this is not it, a fucking secret.
That is out of the bag. That cat cannot be put back so into the
house,
bag.
The house was... No, nothing with animals, dude. That's just gross. So the house was voting on the Senate Joint Resolution 34. It had been proposed earlier in the month by Jeff Flake.
Ironic,
ironic name. Sponsored by 24 other Republicans. Okay. You got to go read up more on this because it's one, I don't have the time to do it today. And two, you should already be paying attention to this kind of horseshit. But I'm down to my last minute. But with the aggressive tendency to just do bad things and say, well, it was Obama's idea. Okay, this one, because I can't convince you dumb fucks, not you listening, those that wouldn't listen. I can't convince the dipshits and the fucktards, you know, and the shitwits that clean air, whether you believe in climate change or not, clean air is fucking awesome. It's great. Clean water is neato. You know, look at the people in Flint, Michigan with the dirty water. They're not happy. Why are you doing this to yourself voluntarily? That was the Republican government up there trying to kill off black people in poor neighborhoods by giving them shitty water. You cannot convince me otherwise. If you're going to call it a hoax, as far as I'm concerned, the government's trying to kill poor people. Fuck you. So what it comes down to is clean water, clean air. Why the fuck? Why do we make this run to mediocrity? Why when the president, the previous president says, hey, you know what? We've been doing this internal combustion engine bullshit for more than 100 years. How about you guys figure out how the fuck to make it not so fucking expensive? Give me some goddamn gas mileage on this bitch. Right? Because that's how they think he talks. Motherfucker. And anyway. So what we see with each thing that they pull back is a lessening of your rights, a lessening of your freedoms, right? All every you bit. Have to do is run into a fucking room with your hair on fire to a bunch of Republicans and say, this thing is causing me not to be able to make money. And at the rate that we're going, sooner or later, you're going to be able to run in the room and say, serial murder being against the law is keeping me from being able to sell the panties of my victims online. And that's causing me to not make money. And Republicans go, oh, my God. You can't make money on your murder trophies? Well, we can't have that. And it'll pass. Because that's the fucking world that we live in. So even though I'm going over time, there is a site right now yes. called Search Internet History. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And they are raising funds to $1 million so that they could start buying the browser histories and the internet usage histories of such august folks as Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, Marsha Blackburn.
Excellent.
Huge cheerleader. Mitch McConnell, because he deserves it.
Yes.
Ajit Pai, because he's the chairman of the FCC and he hates net neutrality.
Correct.
Brian Roberts, chairman and CEO of Comcast. Randall Stephenson, CEO of AT&T, right? Now, they've put it up for a vote to see who gets purchased first. Paul Ryan is winning with 35% of the vote, a total number of 23,773 votes as I read this. Okay? Here's the best part. The GoFundMe page has raised $170,000.
Holy shit.
Already.
That's awesome.
Now, I don't think it's going to make, and its goal was $10,000. Okay? I don't think they're going to make their 10 million that people are trying to get them to. And he says, if we don't, and because it's a GoFundMe, it's paid out no matter what. It's not a fucking Kickstarter, those sons of bitches. I mean, don't get me wrong. If your Kickstarter gets funded, yay, they're wonderful. But if you miss it by a dollar, everybody gets a refund and go fuck yourself. So
I think that's 10,000.
Yeah, they want 10 grand. But they have talked in other places about needing more. They have a $1 million goal.
Oh. A little short, but nevertheless.
Dude, yeah. It's like when your first hurdle is 10K and you've already done that by what? Let's see, the times 16?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing okay, babe. And then if they don't make enough to actually buy internet histories, they're going to donate it to the ACLU.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
This is going to be great. And then publish it. Oh, my God. It's going to be fantastic.
I just wish that Mitch McConnell were performing better, because I got to see what kind of bestiality Tijuana live stream shit that fucker's watching. Because there is no way that Mitch McConnell is watching vanilla porn. There's no way.
No. He's a turtle guy.
No, I think he's more of a...
chinless. The way he looks so chinless, the way he does.
Yeah, he's a gaping cream pie kind of guy. You know what I mean? He's the winky brown eye. That's what Mitch McConnell wants. He's into pegging. He likes forced pegging. Kids, get yourself to the Urban Dictionary to figure out what the fuck I just said. Okay, with that, I'm going to take a break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to take turns telling each other what we learned this week.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
What do you miss when you miss The Left Show?
Huckabee, being a former pastor,
yeah,
and the biggest mouthpiece for the Christian right, has proven himself time and again to not be a Christian because he believes that Levitical law is absolute and was never removed by Christ.
Right.
So he's a rabbi,
yeah,
and therefore not Christian.
Yeah, yes. He's Rabbi Huckabee.
Why not? Then he gets to eat better deli food.
Oh, haven't the Jews been through enough?
Yeah. Oh.
That was a good point.
I am pretty sure.
I know.
We got a little bit to go, but I'm pretty sure Taylor just won the show.
Fresh episodes every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, and theleftshow.com.
Lessons. Let's learn about lessons. Well, the first lesson that I've learned is, and it kind of comes from something I've been reading lately in the Washington Post, Democracy Dies in Darkness, The Plumb Line. And this is something that they've been kind of pushing that really brings me a lot of clarity, Jeff. And the five words, deep rot of bad faith. If you take the Republican Party, but most notably, especially Trump, every single thing that he approaches is this bad faith, this bad intention, this kind of cancer that by which he looks out anything beyond his family or himself. Everything else is suspect. Everything else must be, you know, treated with derision or negativity. This is the kind of thing that began, shall we say, 23 years ago with the, what was it, the 104th Congress, the Gingrich Congress, that began everything with a language list of how Republicans were supposed to talk about Democrats.
Yeah, that was Gingrich, the 20 power words that
correct.
Turned into 40, then 50, then 75.
So if it trickles down from hate radio to hate television like Fox or InfoWars or any of those other guys, you could see people like Kevin Kerwin, who was more interested in pushing a political agenda than actually being a computer repair person. If you go to Kevin the Geek in Yelp, you'll notice that there's a banner right there on his page that says, hey, there's been a lot of traffic here lately. There's a lot of people that, you know, this store has been in the news, you know, so you kind of approach this with caution. And you could see whether or not that there were people, if they were, and they did go in, that they were verbally assaulted by this guy, if by somehow they happened to disagree with him or politics came up. This is the cancer, the deep rot of bad faith.
Hey, you did a shitty job on the thing I paid you to do. Screw you, you Nazi! You liberal goon squad!
Insulting somebody for their race, you know, and just, yeah, you know, trying to chase people out. He was just a bad businessman who was not interested in repairing computers. He was more interested in at putting forth a political agenda. He got on Fox News. He got on all of the other conservative, you know, radio and television talk shows. And this is the sum and substance of their entire ideology. It doesn't make a lick of difference, you know, that there are variations on this to me. To me, what happens in this lesson that I'm concluding with is the fact if you start down this road, it stands to reason that you are eventually going to take up and just be generally a black hole of negativity. You're going to be not here as a force for healing. You're going to be here for harm, harming other people. And that harm extends to those who even get into political office. And just as you have expressed right now with privacy rules, or even with the so-called rollback, I'm not even going to call it so-called rollback, it's the destruction of environmental laws and rules. It just stands to reason that these people are deeply, miserably unhappy people. It's not about law. It's about power, their power, and how they see it and how they see the world negatively.
Why are you so fucking deep?
I'm trying to get to the nut.
I'm over here trying to make laughs, man. I'm like, this will be good for a laugh. And then here you are last week with some goddamn epic weepy poem. You made me emote, sir. I don't emote. I'm no good at that. All right. So what I've learned this week, because honestly, everything I talked about with, you know, all I did was put it in an order. So you guys understand that it was a couple hundred years ago that people called the founding fathers, which apparently when it comes to butt sex, y'all are paying a lot of attention to. When it comes to freedoms and shit, you're like, oh, that doesn't matter. But so here's what I've learned is basically Florida gets 4 marches to support Trump because there are a bunch of 3-toothed hillbillies out in the Everglades that are about to get beachfront property because of the rollback on climate. Okay. Now, yes, that will be salt water and eventually it'll kill them all, but they're going to have some gators everywhere for a while. And everybody knows Terse loves gator. Gator! Motherfucking gator. But yeah, they're about to, you know, they're about to Disneyland. Hopefully Disney moves out of Florida. Wouldn't that be nice?
How about that? Nice.
Actually, and for the first time in my life, I'm about to say this. Maybe they should go to fucking Texas.
Why the hell not? Actually, they should move to Branson.
Missouri?
Did you know, high enough.
It is still not against the law to murder a Mormon in Branson.
Oh my God!
I wasn't aware of that. Pretty sure somebody would have a problem with it, but the truth is there is still a bounty on the heads of Mormons because that's out of Joseph Smith coming through Missouri. And they're like, you don't kill a Mormon, you kill a Mormon, we don't give shit. Just make sure you grab his stuff. The other thing is about Portland. And maybe what I'm about to tell you will offer your crazy plumber guy, right, just a bit of solace, because he seems upset because he thinks that Portland is a liberal hotbed, you know, for lesbian farming, and gay belt design, but
and chicken raising,
in Troutdale.
Ah, yes.
Sorry.
It's out. You know, it's Troutdale. We're beginning to get out of the town.
Yeah,
there's much less, fewer liberals there.
For sure. Hassel Offshore came home Tuesday after a little trip to find that his house had been ransacked, damaged, and shit had been spray painted all over the place. It hurt, he said. It hurt my feelings really bad. but I have to be strong and do what I could do, really. I can't just sit there and cry and nothing's going to be fixed. Now, if you see the pictures, we have fuck you, terrorist, terrorists hate Muslims, get out of a mirror, ran out of wall.
Did they misspell shit?
No. That's what's creepy as shit about it. Yeah, get out of America.
It's uncanny.
Terrorist. I mean, they cut up his shit. They painted it everywhere. I mean, it looks awful. Now, here's the thing. And I've already heard one person give this guy shit because of this next part. But I want to just say, and I'm a guy that earlier when you were talking about pacifism and that kind of stuff, I always get uncomfortable when people talk about how important it is to be pacifists. Because I'm no good at it. Because I do believe that there are times when punching a problem is the only thing to make that problem shut the fuck up. But he says, and I quote, I'm not going to be a hero and stay here and fight about it. I'm not going to sit here and wait for somebody to shoot me. And you know what? Good for him. And I hope that there are some people in that piece of shit town that put together a care package and some money so that he can resettle somewhere where he doesn't have to put up with this kind of white, goddamn grassroots Coeur d'Alene bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting.
It rolls right off as soon as you're out of town. Eastern part of the state, if you're outside of the valley,
yeah,
you'd be really surprised. You'd be really surprised.
No, because I've been to Northern Idaho.
I mean, I live across from Oregon City. It's really, yeah, really, it's pretty much blue collar guys driving around in trucks. Some trucks, they're like coal rolling trucks and shit. I mean, and you're still in Clackamas County. You're still part of the TriMet, still part of the organization that people consider the enemy, because this is liberal Oregon. We have all the power. We have all the liberalness. We don't give a shit about anybody else.
Yeah, but because of where you live and the insane people that live there with you,
mm-hmm,
I can't properly tag you on Facebook. So I'm just saying there are bad people in good areas and there are good people in bad areas, because
of course
Salt Lake City has per capita. This is an old, old number from 2010, but in my heart of hearts, I know it hasn't changed. There are more lesbians per capita in Salt Lake City than any other city in America.
Wow.
I think part of that has to do with the fact that lesbians are normal and make complete fucking sense to me. And two, three reasons. Two, there's a lot of hot Mormon girls. And three, there's a lot of not hot Mormon guys. You know what I mean? If you could imagine like Pepe the Sad Toad on parade, that's kind of what most of us look like out here. You know, a lot of hot, somewhat Nordic, Scandinavian looking ladies, and then a bunch of short, fat, chinless, inbred dudes. It's a weird state, man. It's a weird state. The only reason that it's like that is because we were the fourth state to ratify the right for women to vote, because there were no women here at that time. So we ratified and said, hey, Utah, number four, come on, ladies. We're very lonely.
Hey, we're going to collect your vote. Hey, come on over here.
Yeah.
Hey, aren't we something?
There you go.
I'm breaking my arm, patting myself on the back.
So that's what I've learned today. Florida's all fucked up because they're all stupid. And men in Utah are funny looking. That feels like a weird takeaway from everything today.
And if you like neck beards and man buns, then Portland may be for you. It's not exactly as Portlandia as you may think it is. But the one thing that I have seen that's been a huge change because of the big, this is kind of like a follow-up thought. The idea that Eastern Oregon and Western Oregon don't get along, there have been great strides made, even by those that are the governor, the head of the house, to just reach out to the impoverished counties. And I mean really impoverished, because the majority of the state is just poverty stricken. And that just let them know that we're all a part of this. And it's time we really put down this ill will.
You know,
and
what?
Just realize we're in together.
Let me throw this out in passing at the end when nobody's listening. We have the same kind of problem in Utah, in that there are areas with national monuments in them where the local economy is completely depressed and fucked up.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with, well, the federal government came away and took away where I used to run my cow. My cattle used to eat out there, so now I'm just going to sit here and pout about it. And maybe this is something we can push into next week. I don't know. But basically, you with the other signing of the rollback of climate protections, so both this land and coal, is it seems like it's a bunch of pouty entitled America First white people that just fucking give up and blame everybody else for their problems. There are billions of dollars of tourism money coming in to see a lot of these really kick-ass parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is you got a bunch of assholes that are just used to punching cattle that can't think for one fucking minute to, I don't know, turn it into a thing to have rich yuppies come out from New York City and ride horses and pretend to punch the cattle with you, you fucking idiots. There's a fuck ton of free money floating around out there, and you're too busy being pissed off about the fucking Illuminati to pull your head out of your ass and make a bunch of free fucking money. Tourists come here. They drop money off by the suitcase load, and then they go the fuck home. That's free money. You've already got shit there. Have an implement riding day. Ooh, come on down to Delta, Utah and ride around on our implement. You can't grow shit in that barren fucking soil, so you might as well let a goddamn banker drive around your tractor for $20,000 for a weekend. Jesus Christ, it's the legend of Curly's Gold, you fucking morons. Stop your whining and fix your shit. Have I yelled enough today?
Oh, man. And
I'm just saying, I'm with you. We ought to help our impoverished rural neighbors.
Of course.
But maybe they
yes.
should maybe tug a little bit on their own fucking bootstraps and stop being such fucking babies about it all. Now I'm hoarse. I apparently really felt that.
But this next clip is going to speak for the both of us, because when we come back next week, it'll be like this.
Okay.
I'm alive and I'm putting together a team.
Good for you.
No. Good for us, and good for America, and good for fans of justice and truth, because you're on that team.
That's you, dear listener. You're part of that team.
You're on the team.
That's what makes America great. That's from Mac Gruber.
God damn it. I have managed to avoid that, and I have to watch it. I love MacGyver. Love him.
Get the uncut. Get the raw version.
Okay. It's I'll do it.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the raw version.
All right.
Oh, God. It takes place in a cemetery.
All right.
That's all I have to say.
I'm going to figure this out.